Blog Talk Radio.
God's been good.
God's been good to me.
Up, down. Everybody sing.
God's been good to me.
I want to tell you that
God's
been good. Everybody say, all of my life, come on, giant, say, all of my life,
God's been good.
Oh, everybody say,
God,
I want to tell you that
God. Baptist church, they used to sing a song that said, hold to his hand. Everybody say, let me hear you say, hold.
God's a chain. Has he ever fixed it for anybody? Let me see you wave your hand. Somebody say,
Jesus.
Oh, oh,
oh.
Oh, oh,
oh.
Oh, oh, oh.
Jesus,
somebody say,
Jesus,
sit down. Hallelujah. Sit down. Some folks choose silver, silver and gold. Do y'all know that song? That's the whole way. Everybody say, they tread and forget about their soul. And for their soul, but I've decided, to make Jesus, my soul. Come on, look at your neighbor, tell him the road gets rough. The going gets tough, and the hills, and the hard to climb. I saw a long time ago, a long time. There is no doubt, yeah, in my mind, I've decided. The road is rough for them, and the going gets tough, and the hills are hard to climb.
spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Prophet Brian Carnes this morning singing them old songs. And I do enjoy them old songs. And I've known Brian for a lot of years. Matter of fact, he's from Jacksonville as well. And thank God for him this morning. And I know people have their personal opinions and this and that, but what I know God uses this man. Do you hear what I say? I know God used that Brian Carnes. Yes, he does. Hallelujah. Born a prophet. Yes, he was. Hallelujah. And so I thank God this morning for another, what day this is. Let's see what day this is. Oh, yes, it is. Thursday morning. I wanted to be sure. Hallelujah. Another Thursday morning, he blessed us to wake up, clothed in our right minds with the use and activities of our limbs, our life, our health, and our strength. And I know somebody may say, well, I don't have all the activities of my limb, but he left you enough that you're still here today. And guess what? There's yet a chance of you gaining back the use and activities of all your limbs. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's able this morning. He's a healer. Yes, he is. He's a heart fixer, mind regulator. He's anything you need him to be today. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. So we give God glory. We give him the honor and the praise this morning. We realize there's none like him. We can search all over. We just won't find nobody. Oh, my goodness. Nobody greater than him. And so I'm excited today. I got one more day and the week is ending. And I can take my rest if I choose to or do something different, you know, for the weekend. And so I'm just grateful unto Almighty God for all he has done, what he's doing right now, and what he's going to do. Great and mighty things for us. Great and mighty things for us. Because with him, nothing is impossible. Yeah. Today, I brought Pastor Bailey back again. I just had to have a little bit more of that. Bertrand Bailey. And he's over at a men's conference. There's another one I have here where he's closing a sermon. And I enjoyed that one as well. And I thought you may enjoy it. Two. There's another one where he's preaching his father's funeral. Yeah. And so he's doing a lot of singing over there, and I understand why, because his father going to be with the Lord, you know. So it's a homegoing celebration. And anybody know anything about celebrating, most times we have music, lots of music. Mm-hmm. If you go to a birthday party, they're going to have lots of music. Yeah, to help celebrate. When Jesus went to the wedding and his mother was there, we remember when he turned the water into wine, they had music there. They was dancing. They was celebrating, having a good time. Yeah, yeah. And so we thank God for good gospel music today and that we can listen to. I tell you, if I'm going through something and, you know, I've already talked to the Lord about it and I haven't heard back from him, then what I do is I get me some good praise music going, and I begin to praise him while I'm waiting on him. Yeah, I just go on and praise him and worship him and find my favorite songs and play them. I might cut a rug in here, get my little dance on before him. Yeah, while I'm waiting. Yeah, because I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to hear nothing the devil got to say. I don't want to hear nobody that the devil is sending my way because I'm in the waiting mode. I'm waiting on the Lord because when he comes, he's going to do more than I expected. Oh, yes, more abundantly, above all that I could ever imagine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for this Thursday morning. He blessed us to be here today, and we are grateful. He made this day and the day is good. A lot of times during the day, bad things come. But nonetheless, we can yet rejoice and be glad in it. Why? We got Almighty God who have all power. And if we give these things to him and walk away, he'll take care of it. Hallelujah. And that's why we go on and praise him no matter what the situation is. What news we hear, we yet praise God. He's worthy today. Hallelujah. I have one more this morning. I'm going to, and when we come back, we're coming back with our morning prayer. And after our morning prayer, we'll do a few announcements, and then we're going right in with Pastor Bailey this morning. And take a listen to his message. He's over at a men's conference. And so we're going to hear what he has got to say today. Hallelujah.
Sometimes discouraged, but not defeated. Cast down, but not destroyed. There are times I don't understand, but I believe it's turning around for me. I've had struggles and disappointment. There are times I felt so alone. Some of my friends say, let me down. But I still believe it's turning around for me. Around for me. Around for me. Around for me, it's turning around for me.
Around for me.
Can you just say it into the atmosphere?
Around for me. Around for me.
It's turning around.
Turning around for me.
'Cause I can see the breaking.
I can see the breaking.
God is
making a way. Change is coming for me.
If I stay strong,
if I stand strong and believe,
there's no reason
to
doubt. I know he's working it
out,
and it's turning around.
Turning around.
This is the good news. It won't always be like this. He will perfect that concerning me. And sooner or later, it'll turn in my favor.
Sooner or later.
Turning around,
turning around for me.
It won't always be like this. The Lord will perfect that concerning me. And sooner or later, turn in my face.
Favor.
Just slip your hand into the atmosphere and claim your season of turnaround. Hallelujah. let's say this together. Come on.
Around for me.
Around for me.
Around for me.
Around for me.
It's turning around for me.
Turning around for me.
I can see.
Around for me.
I can feel it happening.
Around for me.
Around for me.
Around for me.
It's turning around, yeah.
Radio not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sooner or later, it's going to turn in our favor. Because he's turning it around for us. Yeah, Brother Louis was telling me, says, bad as things are getting, we are in very exciting times. And we must remember, he covers us. Hallelujah, yes, he does. He covers us. He takes care of his. Yeah. And he already set things up for us this year. He already set it up. Uh-huh. And we're going to be all right. I can't say what others will be, but we will be all right because he already made a way. He already promised. Hallelujah. And how about he's a man that performed his promises? Yeah, he's not a lying God. And so we thank him this morning, and we want to remember today that the words of our mouth, we want to let the words of our mouth be and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's where we want to be every day. We want to be right there because we want to remember that the true and living God hear every word. He know the very intent, every thought of our hearts. And so we're grateful unto him this morning. We appreciate him. We love him. We can't get enough of him. Can't get enough of his word. Yeah, because his word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I woke up this morning and I felt a little tired. Got up around 1 something. And because I usually get up around 3. And this morning I got up early to do some things. And then I was just feeling tired. I said, ooh, it can't be Wednesday. I said, it's got to be Thursday. Because by Wednesday I feel a little tired. And Thursday I'm feeling really tired, you know. So I knew it was Thursday, and I got a few things done I needed to get done. Got a few more things to get done. But nonetheless, I'm working on all of those things. And, you know, God is blessing me. And today the pest control come. In a few days the window people come. And then after them, the pressure washing people come. So, you know, the Lord has opened some doors for me and made a way for some things. And some things, you know, I thought, I said, well, you may have to finance this or, you know, you may have to wait longer on that because I'm in the waiting mode. And when I talked to the pressure washing people, it wasn't near what I thought it was going to be. I said, okay, they can come on. I can just take care of this. I don't have to finance this a little bit. And God is just good. He's just good. And it's him. I can't say it's me, and I know what to do and where to look and how to look for it. No, it's Almighty God who have all power. Hallelujah. On our side, we speaking those things that we want into existence. Hallelujah. Yeah. Man, he is a man of his word. Yes, he is, Brother Lewis. He is a man of his word. What he says he's going to do is what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. Yep. I've learned it. I see it in the action. He's always doing it for me. And I'm grateful unto him this morning. I'm telling you, I appreciate God. Yeah, Lord. I appreciate him because he's always on our side. In spite of us, he's looked beyond our fault and yet meet our needs, and we're grateful unto him. And he told us we could cast our cares upon him, because he careth for us. But once we cast them cares, we got to walk away from it, have patience, trust, and believe God. Yeah, and it's already done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm thankful unto Almighty God. Listen, I wanted to play a little bit of this one this morning, and then we will go to the main message. And his main message is, when good people sin, that's the name of the main message. And this message here is where he's closing. And another message, and I said, oh, I hope this one don't get so good, we don't get to the other one. But let's take a listen to this one.
Y'all know who's coming. The one that was born in poverty. Wise men brought riches to the lowliness of his cradle. Y'all know who's coming. The one that was born a helpless baby, yet spoke spinning worlds into existence and sustains the mighty pillars of the universe by his own word. Y'all know who's coming. The one who was cradled in somebody else's crib, sailed in somebody else's boat, ate at somebody else's house, rode somebody else's animal, and was buried in somebody else's tomb, and yet to him belong all the unsearchable riches of glory. Y'all know who's coming, don't you? The one who as an infant frightened the king, as a boy confused the scholars, as a man made the angry storm be still, quieted the waters, hushed the sea, until it lay down upon the bosom of his gentle command. Y'all know who's coming, the one that healed all manner of diseases and didn't charge a penny for his service. Y'all know who's coming, the one that wrote no books, but libraries can't contain the books written in his name. Y'all know who's coming, the one that wrote no music, but yet the noblest genius is a melody, bring their talents and lay it at his feet. Y'all know who's coming, don't you? The one Herod couldn't kill, Satan couldn't seduce, sin couldn't stand, the roaring sea couldn't withstand, sinners couldn't resist, death couldn't destroy, and the grave couldn't hold. He is the rose of Sharon to them that know no loving. He is the captain of Jehovah's host to them that are besieged. He is the priest bearing our sin offering. Ain't he all right? Y'all know who's coming. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the keeper of creation, creator of all, the architect of the universe, the Lord of history. He always was, he always is, and always will be, unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, undismayed. His ways are right, his word is eternal, his will is unchangeable. Ah, he is the Ancient of Days, the King of the Ages. Ah, he is Adam's Redeemer, Abel's Vindicator, Noah's Ark, Abraham's Sacrifice, Moses' Bush on Fire, Joshua's Battle Axe, Gideon's Fleece, Samson's Power, David's Music, Solomon's Wisdom, Jeremiah's Balm in Gilead, Ezekiel wheel in the middle of a wheel, Matthew's king, Mount suffering servant, Luke's great physician, John's word made flesh, Acts coming on the Holy Ghost. He is distinctive and supernatural capacity, superlative and sovereign majesty, radiant in eternal splendor, matchless in his deity, exclusive in his beauty. Y'all know who's coming. Ah, he is enduring the strong, entirely sincere, eternally steadfast, immortally gracious. He is the greatest phenomenon that ever crossed the horizon of the globe. He is God's Son, the sinner's Savior, the captive's ransom, the breath of life, the centerpiece of civilization. He stands in the solitude of himself. He is august and unique, unparalleled, unprecedented, unsurpassed, unshakable. He is the lofty ideal philosophy, the highest personality in psychology, the unavoidable problem of higher criticism, the supreme subject of literature, the fundamental doctrine of all theology. Ah, yeah. Do y'all know who he is? When I fall, he lifts me. When I fail, he forgives me. When I'm weak, he's strong. When I'm lost, he's the way. When I'm afraid, he's my courage. When I stumble, he steadies me. When I hurt, he heals me. When I'm broken, he mends me. When I'm blind, he leads me. When I'm hungry, he feeds me. When I face trials, he's with me. Persecution, he shields me. Problems, throws his arms around me. Do y'all know who he is? Ain't it all right? Say somebody, turn to somebody. Turn to somebody. Grab them by the hand. Look at them in the face. Hold their hand like you've been born again. Go on and turn to them. Hold their hand. Look at them in the eye and say, neighbor, can I take you to the 67th book of the Bible? Say, neighbor, I know the Bible only has 66 books. But say, neighbor, there's one more book, and that's my story. Say, neighbor, can I tell you my story? Say, I've seen the lightning flash in my story. Say, neighbor, I've heard the thunder roar in my story. Yeah, I've seen the lightning flash. Say, in my story, I've felt sin breakers dance. I'm trying to conquer my soul, but I heard the voice of Jesus telling me, fight on, mama, fight on, daddy, fight on, preacher, fight on, apostle, fight on, minister, fight on. He promised never to leave me, I'm gonna be alright. Yeah, I'm gonna be alright. Keep on fighting. Tell somebody, fight. Don't just stand there. Fight. I know it's hard. Fight. I know it's rough. Tears in your eyes, fight with pain in your heart, fight, you can't stop now, fight on. Tell somebody, I got some more fight in me.
It's gonna be alright. In the end, we gonna win. In the end, I heard John say, I looked, I saw 144,000, but they were already accounted for. But he said, I looked one more time, and I saw a number that no man.
You know who's coming? Do you know who's coming? Oh, yeah, I like all that kind of carrying on, y'all. I like all that kind of carrying on. Hallelujah, because he's coming back one day looking for the church without spot or wrinkle. And I'm grateful unto him today that he's coming looking for us. He didn't forget us. Yeah, he went away to prepare a place for us. And so he's coming back to get us for that prepared place one day. Hallelujah. You know who's coming? Do you know who's coming? Hallelujah. Let's go to this one. This is the one when good people sin.
Go to 2 Samuel 11. 2 Samuel 11.
2 Samuel 11. Hold your Bible up in the air. Repeat after me. Bible reading.
Bible reading.
Bible believing.
Bible believing.
Bible practicing.
Bible practicing.
Makes a strong Christian.
Makes a strong Christian.
And a strong Christian.
And a strong Christian.
Makes a strong family.
Makes a strong family.
And a strong family.
And a strong family.
Makes a strong church.
Makes a strong church.
And a strong church.
And a strong church.
And make a strong community.
Make a strong community.
Amen. Let's go to work. 2 Samuel 11. Look at verse 1. In the spring of the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. And David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, "I'm pregnant." I want to talk about when good people sin.
Oh,
yes, sir.
Wow.
When good people,
good people sin.
When good people sin. Let me begin by saying, and make a note of this, that people of every age falls.
People of every age falls.
People you would never expect to fall. Mama. And people you would never expect to fall. Daddy. You did that. People you would never expect to fall. Pastor. Preacher. Deacon. Churchman. Prophet. Sin enters into their lives. And bad things happen. And so we need some kind of perspective on when good people sin.
Yeah.
Come on now.
The Bible, it gives us honest account of failure and recovery, weakness and grace. If this is called a good book, it is not because the people in it are good. The Bible is written by a bunch of murderers and homeowners. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy was written by a murderer named Moses. Noah was a drunk, and Rahab was a whore. Samson was a player. Majority of the Psalms is written by an adulterer and a murderer named David. Please don't get me started on Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. That was written by a playboy, a man who had 700 wives and 300 concubines and no blue pills. Jeremiah was a backslider. Majority of the New Testament was written by a murderer named Saul, who changed his name to Paul.
Come on, Reverend.
If this is called a good book, it is not because the people in it are good.
Come on, man.
It's called a good book because God is good. God is good to people. God is good with people. God is good for people. And God is good in spite of people. And the only reason we're here tonight is not because we've been so good. We're here because God is good. We're not singing because we've been so good. We're singing because God is good. We're not preaching because we've been so good. We're preaching because God is good. We're not worshiping because we've been good. We're worshiping because God is good. Because if the truth be told, all of us in here are no good. I don't care how well you can preach, how well you can sing. You ain't no good. Look at your neighbor and just tell him the truth. You ain't no good. Luke 18:19 says, "There is none good but the Father." There is none good but the Father. So if there is none good but the Father, that means all of us are no good. The only reason we're here tonight is because God is good. Romans 3:10, "There is none righteous." I said none righteous. There is none righteous. No, not one. Isaiah 64:6 says, "Even at our best we're still terrible. Our righteousness is as filthy
rags."
The only reason we're here tonight
is because God is good.
Yeah.
Tell your neighbor, the only reason I'm here tonight is because God is good. And the truth be told, all of us are no good. I don't know why we gossiping on each other. You ain't no good yourself. I don't know what gives you the right to talk about him. I don't know what gives you the right to talk about him. You ain't no good. Sometimes I just want to tell couples the truth when I marry him. I just want to tell them the truth. You take this man, you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife, you know she ain't no good, right? I won't tell the truth. You take this man to be your lawful wedded husband, you know he ain't no good, right? You still want him? Say, I do.
There's none good but the Father. So watch this. If two sinners are getting married, that means both of y'all need to be good forgivers.
That's right.
If you can't even forgive, you ain't got no business getting married because you're marrying a sinner.
Yeah.
So we need to look at David because there are five truths that we need to grasp in our fight for sexual purity in a sexually overexposed society. Number one, write this down real quick. Number one, write this down. Mismanaged sexual lust is a very slippery slope. Write that down. Mismanaged sexual lust is a very slippery slope. What is sexual lust? Sexual lust is an intense desire to satisfy one's sexual appetite outside of marriage. Sexual lust is an intense desire to satisfy one's sexual appetite outside of marriage. Now the Bible teaches us, now hear me now, that sexual lust is so powerful. Sexual lust is so controlling that the Bible says your best weapon against it is to run.
Wow.
I mean, it's that power. It's that controlling that the Bible says your best weapon is to run. I know you say, but you need to learn how to run. I know you say you sanctified full of the Holy Spirit, but you need to learn how to run. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Run, get out of there.
That's right.
Paul wrote a young pastor named Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:22. He said, flee youthful lust, run. I know you can preach, but you also need to know how to run.
Yeah.
And many of us got in trouble because we didn't run. All of the temptations, he said, stand. Haven't done all the stand. Stand.
Go ahead.
Then he says, fight a good fight. Yeah. Endure hardship like a good soldier. Yeah. Give me a couple of seconds and run. Get out of there. you can't stand to that. Run. When was the last time you heard that preach to a Christian? Run. A lot of people talk about, you know, the whole armor of God. Notice there ain't no back leg. God don't want you to run. That's a lie.
Wow.
Notice there ain't nothing for your back. That ain't in the Bible. The Bible says run. And many of us got in trouble, including myself.
All right.
Because I didn't run. Many folks have lost a good ministry because they didn't run.
That's right.
Lost a good woman because they didn't run. Lost a good man because they didn't run. Lost their family because they didn't run. Got HIV, got AIDS, got syphilis, got gonorrhea, got herpes because they didn't run.
That's real.
Hallelujah.
There you go. That's real.
Look at your neighbor and say, run, Forrest, run. Everybody just run. This message just ain't for young people. You got some senior citizens that's fornicating. Fornication ain't got no age limit on it. Some of y'all need to run. Write this down. He got in trouble. Number one, because David was where he belonged.
He wasn't where he belonged. It's right there in verse 1. It was on the time when kings go off to war.
Uh-huh.
Where's David at?
Oh.
He had the palace. Write this down. We become very vulnerable to sin when we're not where we belong.
Wow.
We become very vulnerable to sin when we're not where we belong. Mama was right. I don't care. I don't care. Very soon, I don't mind. And an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Y'all better hear me. There's a danger in having too much time on your hands. When you got too much time on your hands, you start pulling up stuff on the internet. You ain't got no business pulling up. You start going on folks' Facebook page. You ain't got no business being on. You start texting folks. You ain't got no business texting. You got too much time on your hands. And sometimes your old house ain't where you belong. David was at home. You can get in trouble at home. You can get in trouble at your house.
Yes.
Preach, baby. I'm trying. They ain't saying nothing. He got in trouble because he wasn't where he belonged. Number two, write this down. He got in trouble because he coddled temptation. C-O-D-D-L-E-D. He coddled temptation. Now that word coddle, it means to slow cook just before boil. It means to slow cook just before boil. And that's what got David in trouble. Watch this now. Don't miss this. He went from glancing at him to gazing at him. From gazing at him to pursuing him. Who was that? From pursuing her to adultery with her. But notice where it started.
He
went from a glance to a gaze. From a gaze to a pursuit. And watch this. The guy he asked tried to warn him. He said, who was that? That guy said, oh, that's Bathsheba. That's the daughter of Eliam. And the wife of Uriah the Hittite. He was trying to warn David right there. Hey, man, that's somebody's daughter, man. That's somebody's wife.
Yeah.
But the flesh don't care. Mm-hmm. He's just some servant to
it.
But notice where it starts. With the eyes. Y'all hear me? It's a danger in looking too long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Now. Come on. There it is. There it is.
Come on. It's a danger in looking. Write down Psalms 101, verse 3. Psalms 101, verse 3. It says, I will set before my eyes no vile thing. The work of the wicked will not cleave to me. I will set before my eyes, which means if I keep looking at this, it's going to stick with me. That's why we got to watch that television. We got to watch that computer. Because somebody was right. They said, that television, that computer allows us to be entertained in our living room by folk we would never have in our house. You would have losers and sucking in your house. But yet, all of these bad influences are coming into our homes through the television screen, through the computer. Pornography, which I was once addicted to. Let's keep it real. I'd rather mess with myself than mess with one of the members, so that's why I got addicted to pornography. You can't get a herpes from pornography. Well, some of y'all just looking at me like, okay. Hey, man, sometimes you got to show your scars so other folk will believe. Jesus had to show Thomas his scars so he believed. And that's what's wrong with a lot of Christians. You don't want to show your scars. And that's why a lot of people not believing. How does God have to deliver me from this? My brothers and sisters, these eyes. That's why Job said, Job 31 and 1, write that down, Job 31 and 1. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look lustfully at a young girl. I made a covenant, a promise, an agreement with my own eyes. That I will not look lustfully at a young girl, because you know the damage these eyes can get you in, the trouble your own eyes can get you. That's why Paul told Timothy,
Because how you see a person will be how you treat them. Paul told Timothy. He said, treat them older men as fathers. Mm-hmm. Don't be harsh when you rebuke an older man. He said, treat them young men as brothers. He said, treat them older women as mothers.
Yeah.
But this helped me. He said, treat the younger women as sisters with all purity.
Yeah.
Because how you see them will be how you treat them.
Right.
I have five sisters. I have five sisters, Patricia, Bertrina, Bertonette, Bertabitha, and Bertrina.
Wow.
It's 11 of us, but I got five sisters. And all my sisters are beautiful. Boy, I said, I don't think about sleeping with now one of them. They're my sisters. And the Lord said, now, baby, the same way you see your biological sisters, that's the way I want you to see the young women in the church.
Amen. Come on, wow. Come on.
Because how you see them will be how you treat them.
Amen.
Yeah.
And if you see them as sisters, you ain't trying to get an example. That's why Jesus was able to help a woman at the well who had five husbands. The one she was with at that current time wasn't even her. She was out there.
Yeah.
But when Jesus got through introducing her to the living water,
hallelujah.
Not interested in her body and her breast and her behind, but her soul. When he got through with her, she went to town to come see a man.
Come see a man.
In other words, y'all boys, come see a man who just did woman for my body. We have to be able to, oh my God, put your sunglasses on and be able to see people through the eyes of the sun. Look at your neighbor and put your sunglasses on and be able to see people through the eyes of the Son of God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Number two, write this down. The second point is the primary instinct after sexual sin is to cover it up. The primary instinct after sexual sin is to cover it up. Shortly after David's affair with Bathsheba, she sent word to him. She said, I'm pregnant. And you are the father. David began to try to quickly devise an elaborate plot to try to make this baby look like it was her husband, Uriah. But in the innocence of Uriah's integrity, he didn't cooperate with David's plan. David got desperate and had him murdered. Three things we need to know about covering up our sins. Number one, cover-ups are temporary.
Wow.
Numbers 32 and 23, just flip it around. Numbers 32 and 23, it says, be sure your sins will find you out. It's almost like saying, you sure you want to do it? Be sure. Because it's going to come out. You sure you want to go to hell? Sure you want to go to this apartment? Be sure. You sure you want to go to this parking lot? Everybody parked at Walmart ain't in the store.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Everybody parked at the hospital ain't in there. They're in the same.
That's right. Yeah.
Is that be sure?
Yeah.
Be sure. Your sins will find you. In other words, cover up are temporary. It's going to come out. That's why you need to cut it out now. Number two, write this down. Innocent people get hurt.
Yes.
Innocent people get hurt. Uriah was innocent. He was nothing but loyal to his wife and loyal to the king, and yet he's the one who died.
Yes.
That's only because the truth is out, because it's affecting innocent people. Just like the one football player runs out of bounds. He ain't just been alive. That one football player who ran out of bounds, now the whole team has been alive. The coach has been alive. The fans have been alive. The school has been alive. That's one man went out of bounds.
Yeah.
Okay, y'all don't believe it? This whole human race is being penalized right now because of one man.
Yeah.
Who couldn't stay in bounds? Adam! And because Adam went out of bounds, this whole human race right now is suffering.
Yes.
Wow.
Innocent people. There are wives right now in AIDS recovery groups. Not because they weren't faithful. The husband brought it home to them. There are husbands in AIDS recovery groups right now, not because they weren't faithful. She brought this home. There are children right now born with AIDS. Born with HIV. Born addicted to drugs. Innocent! And come in the world with this because of the foolishness of their parents. Innocent people get
We need to cut that. And then not only that, the third thing they go about covering up our sin is God knows.
All
yes.
Right.
God knows.
Yes, sir.
God knows. Now, if you tell me that's the right way to do wrong, that ain't in the Bible. What is that? Man, you're going to do something, go to Tampa, man. You're going to do something, man, go to Orlando, man. Get out of here, man. Go to Belgrade or something. But the only problem is, Psalms 139 and 7, where can I go? From the presence of the Lord. If I took wings and flew,
yeah,
said I'm there. Make my bed in hell, he said. I'm there, which means, watch this, y'all. Everything we do is in his presence. Everything we do is in his presence. Matter of fact, Proverbs 15 and 3 says, the eyes of the Lord is in every place. Beholding, looking, watching. The good and the evil. Which means everything we do is in God's face. You know what God is saying? You're just going to do this in my face? Knowing the power I have, I can kill you. I ain't got an answer to nobody. You can do this. In my, you have no fear of me at all? That you would do this in my face? I know you've seen The Color Purple. How did he die? Everything we do is in God's presence and in God's face. Now watch this. That also shows you how much he really loves you. Because we've done a lot of stuff in his face. And he still woke us.
Yeah.
If you don't believe God loves you, just think about everything you've done in his place. And he still keeps a roof over your head. He still feeds you three meals a day. He still keeps your water running. He still keeps money in your pocket. Where sin did abound, grace did much more.
Come on, everybody.
Preaching here, baby. I'm trying. They ain't saying nothing. God has not dealt with us according to our sins deserved. Y'all ain't sin nothing. Somebody ought to, if you can't shout over grace, you ought to at least shout over mercy. Grace is when you get what you don't deserve. But mercy is when God withholds from you what you do deserve. When you think how many years you've been smoking, you ought to have emphysema, lung cancer, but mercy. Y'all ain't praying. When you look at how much alcohol you consume, your liver should be messed up, but mercy. When we look at how much unprotected sex we've had, but God knows how many folks, we ought to have syphilis, gonorrhea, HIV, but mercy! Somebody will say, thank God for mercy. Shakespeare says the quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as a gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes. His mightiest and the mightiest. It becomes the throne's monarch instead of his crown. His scepter shows the force of temporal power. The attributes of high majesty. One that sits the dread and fear of kings. But mercy is above the scepter sway. It is enthroned into the heart of kings. It is an attribute of God himself.
Yes.
When mercy seasons justice. Wherever you have justice, you gotta have some mercy. Hallelujah. You don't think God loves you, you just think about how much we've done in his face.
Come on.
He still had mercy. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures. But then write this down. Number three. We see that confrontation is the usual means by which sexual sin is admitted. Confrontation is the usual means by which sexual sin is admitted. God worked through Nathan to confront David about his sin. Now don't miss this. We can learn a lot from Nathan, how he confronted David. Because Nathan used skill and he used tact to help David see himself. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Just because a person is wrong, be careful not to come at them wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because things can really go wrong.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
Even though a person is wrong,
yeah.
You still want to be careful to come at them right.
Yeah.
In the hopes that they will get right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then time you come at them wrong and say, hey, I don't care if I did do it, you better lower your voice.
Huh. Yeah.
I don't care if I did do it, you better take that bass out your voice. I don't care if I did do it, you better kick your finger out of my face.
Yeah.
Even though a person is wrong, you still want to come at them right in the hope that they will get right.
Yeah.
Ephesians 4:15. Speak the truth in love.
Yeah.
They need the truth, but they need it in love.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why they need the truth. Because John 8:32 says the truth has set them free.
Yeah.
Which means watch this pop, lies put them in bondage.
Yeah.
The truth will set them free.
Yes.
That's why a lot of Christians are in bondage right now.
Yes, sir.
That's why a lot of us in church are in bondage right now. A lot of preachers are in bondage right now. Because ain't nobody telling them the truth.
Nice.
Wow. Some of us are trying to figure out why folk ain't getting better. Wow. It takes more than worship to get them better.
Come on. Wow.
It takes more than praise and shouting and vomiting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They need the truth.
Amen.
Who in your life loves you enough to tell you the truth?
Wow.
Yeah.
Outright. Yeah.
The truth will set them free. Lies put them in bondage. And y'all know the devil, John 8, is the father of all lies. You will never go at the devil and you're always your lies.
Uh-huh.
That's why you're not tolerating lying from your children, because lying is the devil's native tongue.
Yeah.
That's one thing you will not tolerate.
Yeah.
Because that's satanic right there. The lie you told. Because
yeah.
The devil is the father of all lies.
Yeah.
And you're never more like Jesus than you are when you tell the truth, because he's the way, the truth.
Mm.
Yeah. And the life. See, a real friend, a real Christian is like a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
That doctor's going to tell you the truth. He's going to hurt your feelings.
Amen. Amen.
He's going to hurt you. The doctor's going to tell you, you need to lose this. You need to cut this out. You need to stop this. You need to start this. And you should be all right. He hurt you.
Yeah.
But you know what you say? Thank you, God.
Yeah.
Amen.
He cut you. He hurt you.
Amen.
You say thank you. You know why? Because you know it came from a good place.
Yeah.
He told me the truth because he wanted to see me get better.
Yeah.
He wants to see me get stronger.
Uh-huh.
He wants to see me live longer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's a real Christian. Mm-hmm. They're going to tell you the truth. Why? Because they want to see you get better. Yeah. They want to see you get stronger. They want to see you love. Many of us are here right now because somebody loves us enough to tell us the truth.
Yeah.
You are the woman you are today. You are the man you are today. The husband, the father you are today. The pastor, the preacher. Because somebody told you the truth.
Yeah.
Y'all know why Legion loves the cemetery? The Bible says he lived among the tombs.
Mm.
Y'all know why he loves the cemetery so much? I'll tell you why the man loves the cemetery so much. He loves being around people who wouldn't say nothing. That's why he loves the cemetery. He loves being around people who wouldn't say nothing. He went to my dad, he threw a cemetery, nobody said nothing. He hollered, ah! Ain't nobody saying nothing. He cut himself with rocks, ain't nobody saying nothing. That's why you like these folks. They ain't talking.
And you know what? That's why many of us love the poor people. Wow.
They don't know.
Wow.
I ain't gonna say nothing.
Mm.
And some of them even tell you, dog, you know I ain't gonna say nothing. Have I ever said anything? And you know I know, don't you, dog? You know I know now.
You my boy. You a real friend.
Some of you went in the same way. That's why y'all run with the girls y'all run with. They say one thing I don't do is talk boo boo. Do you boo boo? The one thing I don't do is talk boo boo. Yeah, where's my niece? Do you? That's why we love them. That's why I need to love him, but thank God the truth came to Legion. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And when the truth got through with Legion, he was clothed and in his right mind at the feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, y'all pray with me.
Yeah.
And then right with that, number four, we say this is going to bless you. Deep godly sorrow And God's forgiveness runs in tandem, one behind the other. Deep godly sorrow and God's forgiveness runs in tandem. Y'all have to look at 2 Samuel 12 and 13. Because when Nathan got through with David owned it. He said, I sinned. I sinned against the Lord. And in the same verse, Nathan said, and God has taken your sins away, you will not die.
Ooh.
In the same verse, David confessed, God forgave you.
Wow.
In the same, man, you ought to preach the same verse. In the same verse.
Same verse.
When Nathan got through, David said, hey, I'm sinning against God. And God says, and Nathan says, and God has taken your sins away, you will not die. David expected to die because of what he had done. Adultery was a death sentence. He expected to die. And yet God showed, here's the mercy of God again. And God has taken your sins away. You will not die. Baby, what is your point? Y'all, we ain't messed up that bad to where God won't forgive us. We ain't done that much wrong to where God won't forgive us. If God will forgive David for adultery and murder, surely he'll forgive us. David truly repented.
Come on now.
And watch this. You don't hear him doing that again. He truly repented.
Yeah.
And let me tell us, repentance is not when you cry.
Come on.
Repentance is when you change. Some of us crying, but we ain't changing.
Right now.
We come up every Sunday crying. At the house and crying. Get them covers out here. Come on, man, cry. But not changing. Repentance is a radical change of mind. It's a U-turn. It means if you've been going away from God, you turn around and come back to Him. Kind of remind me, like kindergarten, kind of remind me, when little kindergarten, little girl came, and teacher said, Peter, where hit me? He hit me. Teacher said, come here, Willie. Willie came with a, yes, ma'am, did you hit Kelly? Yes, ma'am. You're a part of that of her right now. I'm sorry, Kelly. Kelly looked at him. He said, are you sorry enough not to do it again? Are you sorry enough? You can apologize all day. That's what the Lord is saying to you. Are you sorry enough to take her number out your phone? Are you sorry enough to quit calling? Are you sorry enough to change the number?
Right there.
You ain't sorry enough to change. You keep that sorry because you truly are sorry.
Good word.
You don't pray with me?
Yes, sir.
But he says, 1 John 1 and 9, don't miss this, y'all. I got to close. If we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us. If we confess. That word confess in the Greek, y'all, is homologeo. Everybody say homologeo.
Homologeo.
That's what it is in the Greek. Homo means same. Legeo means speak. In other words, when you say the same thing about your sin that God says about your sin, then he'll forgive you of your sin. But you have to call it what he calls it. You can't be using pretty words. She done caught me in a field. Lie! You didn't call it what the Lord called it. You lie! See, y'all ain't saying the same thing. I had an affair. Adultery! Call it what it is! And I forgot to forgive you of it, you have to call it what he calls it! Now just leave it around. Fornication! Call it what the Lord calls it. See, that's the problem. Nobody want to call it what he calls it. That's why he ain't forgiving you of it. You know, that got me for embezzlement.
That got me putting bells on me.
That ain't in the Bible. Stealing! Stealing! How did the Lord get on there?
Alternative lifestyle.
That ain't in the Bible. Homosexuality. It's an abomination. Call him what the Lord calls it, and then he'll forgive you of it,
but you have to call him what he is.
I had clothes. See, my son, I never get back around. We had to understand potty training him. And his mama was just, she said, boy, you mess up on yourself, I promise you, I'm going to tear you up. Did you hear me? You mess on yourself one more time, I promise you. Got a little black sister, but I promise you. I'm going to tear you up. So that, knew his mama was justice. But every time he would mess up, he would come to me. Because I was mercy. They told me, and I knew they messed up because his walk had changed.
All right.
His steps done got a little short. And he would come to me and say, Daddy, come here. Come here, Daddy. Come here. And he walked past the mama. Come here, Daddy. Come here. I said, where we going, Dad? Come here. And he would take me in the room, come here, Daddy, come here. He would look at his mama and close the door. And then he would look at me. I said, Daddy, I boo-boo.
He confessed it to me.
He said, Daddy, I boo-boo. Because he's that new. I said, he couldn't change himself.
Come on. He knew he couldn't change himself. And the only way he was going to get cleansed, he had to confess it to me. And when he confessed it to me, y'all ain't praying with me. I picked him up. I picked my boy up. Y'all not praying with me here. I picked him up. And not only that, I pick him up, I put him in some more love. Hello, somebody. I put him in some more love. I said, that's between me and him. Hello, somebody. And that's what I've learned to do when I mess up. I've learned to close you Negroes out because y'all are justice. And I've learned to take my father by the hand. And if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just. And he puts me in some more love. Is there anybody here that can testify? Love covers a multitude of sins. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm still in love.
He never runs out of love. You think about what love deals with. Love deals with a whole lot of mess. Love deals with a whole lot of crap. Y'all ain't prepping. Love gets pissed off sometimes. But love holds on until they change. Devastating consequences of sin. Although David was forgiven, he still had to deal with the consequences. Y'all, you can be forgiven, but you still have to be. There are a lot of guys who are forgiven, but they have to do 20.
Yeah.
Wow.
There are people who are forgiven, but they got to live with AIDS. Matty Johnson. Saved, forgiven, but he's still living.
Amen.
Yeah, you can be forgiven and still have to deal with it. Because David's life will never be the same again. Had to fight battle after battle. Not only that, watch this, don't miss this.
Yes,
his children got hit the hardest.
Yeah.
David's baby died because of his sin. And he prayed to God, come on, come on, come on, Lord, come on, come on now. Come on, take this out of my baby. Come on, please. Come on now. Don't make my baby suffer for me. He prayed and prayed, been washed, been bathed and shaved to save him for the Lord. Like that, people, they're going to change it. Lord, going to turn it around. Sometimes you got to deal with the consequences. I don't care how hard you pray, how hard you fall out and slob and everything. Sometimes this is just the consequences.
Yeah.
Wow. He saw him whispering and he knew. Baby gone. Shaved, washed, got himself together and went to worship. I said, I don't get it, David. That baby was sick. You didn't bathe, you didn't shave, you didn't do that, and had a baby gone. You up, you're looking good. He said, my baby can't come to me. Mm-hmm. I just go to my baby. Not only that, David's son Amnon.
Yeah.
Raped David's daughter Tamar.
Yeah.
Same way you take advantage of somebody else's daughter. The guy tried to warn him, that's somebody's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
See what goes around?
Comes around.
His own son raped his own daughter. Not only that. That daughter, after she was raped by her brother David's son, she went and told David's other son Absalom.
Come on now.
What her brother Amnon had done to her. And now Absalom comes and he kills David's son Amnon.
That's right.
And now Absalom feels some kind of way about his daddy. Now Absalom, that ain't good enough just to kill his brother. He wants David dead now. And David had to leave the palace and run from his own son.
Yeah.
And then Absalom ended up being killed. But guess where it started? 2 Samuel 11. If David would have saw what it was going to do to his kids, he never would have did this. Sometimes you folk laugh. I don't know why I'm going through so much. You know why!
All right.
You know exactly why you're going through this.
Right.
This is a consequence.
All right.
And you just got to accept it. Even me, right now, I've gone through a divorce, and the foolishness of me and my ex-wife has caused our children to suffer.
Yes,
God. My baby boy, 15, didn't even want to live no more. Became suicidal. I'm preaching to you right now with a dog that's in lesbianism.
Oh, God.
Now blame me. The consequence.
About
it. See, that's why we got to cut this foolish now, because it's going to affect the children the most.
Yeah.
Then, watch this. David couldn't do all he wanted to do for the Lord. He wanted to build God a house. No. You can't build my house. You got too much blood on your hands. Including the blood of your kids. See, that's what sin will keep you from doing all you want to do for God. Some of us in here right now can't do all you want to do for God because you're living in sin. You're shacking. Father, that's why we can't do all we want to do. We know what we're doing, and it's hindering us from doing all we want to do for Him. They even said, my sin is ever before me.
Lord,
even now, I'm saying right now, you're going to pay for what you're doing. Right now, I'm paying. I have to pay $1,500 a month in child support. $1,500. And then all of that, I thought my oldest son graduated and was cut in half.
Oh, Reverend.
I'm being okay. It's $750 now. It's going down. But the Lord said, no. It's going to
$1,200.
That's why I thank you for bringing me. You're helping me with this child support.
Hey,
baby, don't turn down no
Sunday morning, he died. is that for God so loved the world, and is there whoso, I said, why that word so in there? Why didn't you just say for God loved the world? But you said for God so loved. I said, why did you say so? He said, because some folk have messed up so bad, they think they don't deserve my love. But tell them, I said so. They still love. Church, these folk are so messed up, they don't deserve his love, but God said so, they still love, that's a gangbanger, so, love, that's a prostitute, so, love, that's a dope dealer, so, love, that's a dope user, so, a homosexual, so love, and the only reason we're here tonight is because we're so love. I'm glad God's love is not like no love, and I'm glad you can't change God's mind about me. You may have made other folk stop loving me. You may have made other folk from me, but the last time I checked, he said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. He said, Lord, I'm with you always, even until the end.
Because they didn't go looking for it, but it found them and they participated. Then there are those times when people premeditated. As I've heard women say, I prayed and I said, Lord, don't let Big John come over here tonight. No, that's not the way, sister. Big John, you can't ever come back over here. I am saved. Yeah, I'm saved by the grace of God, and if I'm going to do God right, I got to cut you loose. Yeah, I can only play around and lay with those that I'm married to. If I'm not married to you, I don't even have any business flirting with you. You single and I'm single, but I don't have any business flirting with you. When you first heard him come on, he said, this rhyme. Yeah. He said, some people tell you God don't want us running. He said, run. It's better that you run away from sin than stay there and commit it. Yeah. So it's better that we run away. And God will give us an escape to escape sin if we truly want to. Yeah. Late night calls and all that kind of stuff. And then we try to fool ourselves and dress it up. Oh, he just calling me to check on me. He just calling me for this. No late night calling. Call me during regular hours. I know you don't get off to 5. Well, call me between 7 and 9. Yeah, and we can talk. And after 9, you can't call me no more now because it's my bedtime. Yeah, I don't stay up late because the scripture teach me not to. I don't sleep late because the scripture teach me not to. I know everything is not for everybody and everybody don't understand. Yeah, but we don't put ourselves in a position to be tried by that devil because he will try you. I don't care how long you say you've been saved, how long you say I got God, and can't no devil come here? Let me tell you something. Be careful. Be very careful. Because if that devil tried Jesus, what will he do for you? Yeah. You married, you ain't got no business flirting with a single man or a married man. You married, you ain't got no business flirting with a single woman or a married woman. All the conversations, be careful. I had an experience that taught me this. This is before I truly, truly come to the Lord. But I knew better than to play with a pastor. No, that wasn't going to be. Hey, now look now. Them that's out there in the street, okay, I might play around. But you over the flock, and you up teaching and preaching the word, and you got a wife. I've been a lot of things, but Slimy just wasn't one of them. I wasn't going to be able to do it. So every day he get off work at 5, no later than 5:20, 5:30, he done got home, he calling me. I don't know where the wife was. And sometime I would ask, I said, well, where's Sister So-and-so? Oh, she in there cooking. Oh, she did, she that. And we kept talking and talking. Look now, I had that form of godliness and denying the power thereof. But after about a couple of weeks almost, it had almost gone into 2 weeks, I'm sure, the Lord spoke to me and said, listen, cut that off. You tell him this. I told him exactly what God said. He said, yeah, sister, that's what it is. He said, and you're right. That's what God said about that, even in his word. You hear me? I didn't know where the scripture was to tell him the scripture. I didn't know where that was, but I know what God told me to tell him. And we cut it short. But even after that, he would be up in the pulpit and giving me a compliment. I'm like, what the foolishness? What the nonsense? So I brought old boy in and brought the boyfriend on in now. Sunday after church, before he finished the benediction, I was out the door in the car with the boyfriend, headed on to Daytona or wherever I wanted to go. If I wanted to go to the flea market or whatever, yeah, let's go. But if the conversation would have continued, you see, it would have been some foolishness come up in that. Next thing you know, I'm going with the pastor, and he got a wife. Are you kidding me? And I got to see this lady every Sunday. And supposed to love her, which I did. But how could I love her and I'm cheating with her husband? That wasn't going to work. And then I learned some things over the years. Listen. And I teach this to young women. Men are asking for your phone number. And I take it. You give it to them, they'll take your number. That means absolutely nothing. You hear me? That don't mean he wants you. That don't mean nothing. But he got your phone number. Because some, especially he with some other guys. I've heard it. I've seen it. Hey, man, watch this. Watch that get her number. Hey, man, that woman is not going to give you her number. Go ahead on. He watched this. He gets the phone number with no intentions of calling you. It was just a bet he had with the guys that he could get your number. Some women think because he got their number, oh, they in that. No, no, no. He don't care nothing about you. He don't even care to see you again. He don't care to talk to you again. Yeah, it's what men do. Married. Got a girlfriend, living with a woman, whatever, they will holler at you, but they don't mean you're no good. They don't mean that. That's nothing. That's not, I'm going to take you home to meet mama and we're going to marry in a year. That's not that. It's what men do. They like women. I'm talking about a thoroughbred man. I can't account for these other things, but I'm talking about what God made him, a thoroughbred man. Yeah, they do all of that. And some of them, they will call you and hold conversations with you and all of that because they after what they after. Once they get what they after, that's it. Because they like hunters. They like to chase. And once they catch, that's it. Because all he was doing was chasing. saved women have to be prayerful so we'll know the difference. And we have to make our calling and same thing with men, same thing with men. Make your calling and election sure with God. I already told God, Lord, if you're sending a man for me, this is the way that I want him to come. Because if he come this way, I will know it's you. I done had too many to come smelling good, looking good, taped up, half cut, money in their pocket. Oh, I done been there, done it. That's foolishness. I need the man that you put in place if you're sending one, Lord. If you send one, this is what I want it to be so that I will know that it's of you. You see how he say, love one another. Because if we love one another, this is how the world will know that we are of him. Lord, if you send him this way, then I know he's of you. Of you. So far, that didn't come yet. That's why I'm sitting down. Having a good time by myself. I've had men to tell me, you some kind of smart. I say, what? I say, girl, you don't fool around. No, sir, I don't. I say, because them nothings there, they ain't about nothing. I said, you ain't got to tell me. I already know. I said, and it's not that, you know, I'm all of that or better than they are in any way. It's just that it's not what God is sending. So I have to keep rolling. Yeah, because the area I come from, too, and where I live, you go on in the minute market, we used to call it, the convenience store. They be all around the convenience store. Hey, ma'am. All kind of foolish. How you doing, lady? All kind of nonsense. What's up, ma? Now, you know I wasn't about to get with you because I'm not your mama. I don't even play like that. Hey, shawty. I'm not really a short woman. I got a little bit of height to me. Foolishness, foolishness. And if I'm a weak woman, I fall for the mess. I remember my daughter and I, we were selling cupcakes on a corner. And all these guys was coming by buying cupcakes and this and that and talking to us and different things. And this one, he just kept at my daughter, kept at my daughter. And we called her something. I've forgotten the name he called her. She said, now it's time for you to leave right now. It is just time for you to go. Because my mom is here, and I don't want to be ugly in front of my mom. She said, so would you please go on? He was like, give me your number. I'm going to call you. She said, you don't have anything to say to me that I want to hear. Like, oh, goodness. Am I going to have to look for somebody to help us fight him or what? Because she gets with him. She got with him. And he went on down the street. But guess what it was, too? He was meaning what he was saying, but he was saying the wrong things because he didn't know no better. And I told her, I said, evidently he didn't have a real daddy, you know, a real man in the house to teach him. I said, because if he knew, you know, about being a man, he would know what to say to a lady. You know, I said, now if you was out here with your hot pants on and your tight pants, I could understand. But we look like ladies who go to church, who could go in the church right now. I said, so he didn't know what to say. I believe he was sincere, but he just didn't know. And she said, yeah, and he didn't know, and I don't want nobody who don't know. I said, well, I'm with you when you're right, sister, you know, and I let it go. But many times in the church, we'll fall for game. I've seen the deacon key-key-keying with the ushers. I've seen the ushers laughing and flirting with the choir members. Yeah. Where I come from, they put a squeaking hawk to that. Yeah, you don't do that in here. This is not the spot. Y'all take it outside or carry it to the club or wherever you want to carry it, but don't bring it up in God's house. Yeah, this is not the dating game. This is not where you meet men and women at it here. Oh, I would be so tickled. I would be so tickled many days. Yeah, because he was straightening it out right then and there. And he used to tell us, he said, well, if I straighten it right here, right now, we don't have to worry about it later on. You may not ever like me again because you feel like I hurt your feelings. He said, but hell will hurt your feelings much more than I did. What I did, if you obey it, it'll get you right, and you'll be in good standings with God. But if you don't, hell will be your home. And I promise you, your feelings, more than your feelings, will be hurt. Yeah. And so, you know, a lot of, and then he took his time in Bible study a lot of nights and, you know, explained things to us, and which I didn't have a problem with nothing. Because if the word don't convict you, something is wrong. Something is wrong with that teacher. Something is wrong with that preacher. Yeah. For God is love. That is true. But he has said what he meant, and he meant what he said. And if you don't get convicted, you're not going to change. Oh, yeah, you'll be converted. You know, you'll change a few things around, but totally sell out, you won't do it. Because you think you can get by with this stuff, just keep doing the same thing. But no, we got to make some real changes. You heard what he said, that crying is not the way. We cry because we touched. You know, in repentance, I'm crying to the Lord because I'm convicted. I'm wrong. I know I did wrong. Lord, forgive me. And then I don't want to do that again. When that comes back around, I don't want it to find me in the same place, but that I've moved on past that, and I'm no longer doing that sin. I'm no longer committing that wrong, because he said if we know it's wrong and we do it, it's a sin. And sin separates us from God. And we got a lot of good people in the church. And when I look back on Cornelius, he was a good man, gave much alms to the poor. But he did not have the Holy Ghost. God told him to go down to Joppa, send down to Joppa and get Peter. Peter was up on the housetop. God began to show Peter, I didn't just come for the Jews. I come for the Gentiles. Whoever will receive me now, that's who I come for. And Peter would tell him, Lord, you show me all these unclean things. I never eat nothing unclean. He said, what I made, don't call it unclean. They came and called for him. He come down off the housetop, went on with Cornelius' men. Cornelius invited his family, his friends, and everybody he wanted to receive from God. He invited them over. And when Peter went, Peter brought the word for, and they received the Holy Ghost. They changed. Completely. Yeah. So we got to be better than good. We got to make some changes. Hard changes. We got to get a heart of flesh so God can shape it and mold it the way that he desired for it to be, not the way that we want it. And he said in his word, he asked us in his word to be good, to do good things. And I thank him for a saving power. I thank him for changing me from the inside, because since I got a new mind and a new heart, I don't have to think and behave the way that I used to. Yeah, I could remember the times I would go somewhere and somebody didn't know I was in the line, and they, you know, got in the line ahead of me. I remember the time I would clown right there, just act a pure donkey. But he come in, and it was him that saved me, gave me a new heart and a new mind. Yeah, I remember the time if I liked the man, give me your number. Here it is. I'm looking for you to call me. Now, don't play no games with me. Yeah, bold. So a man that I like, I just go to him and give him the number, give me a call. Don't play with me. Are you calling me? Yeah, yeah, okay now, because if you don't call me, when I see you again, it's going to be ugly. Wasn't that something? No lady act like that. No lady does those kind of things. But he changed me from the inside. Started in my mind and heart. And he fixed me. Mm-hmm. I used to have friends say, girl, you so bold. Well, you see what you want, what you going to do, stand around and let it fade away, or you going to get it? Foolishness, foolishness. That's what it was. Foolishness. So he saved me, and it was him that took me to the scripture that showed me in 2 Corinthians, don't let fornication be once named among you. All adulterers going to hell if they don't change. Mm-hmm. All is jesting and joking, men and women, And too much talk is not good either. They're long conversations. Because they lead to things. After a while, somebody got some type of feeling. They feel in some type of way, as the word said. So we're careful. We're careful. And if God has saved us, we're no longer just women, just females. We're ladies. And we should carry ourselves in that way. I saw this movie with Diana Ross, and she told him, said the guy was telling her, just like they made you, she said, oh, no, they didn't make me. I'm a lady. And there's a certain way a lady carry herself. Yeah. And there's a certain way she talk. Yeah, in the public, even the men. Yeah, she don't just talk any old kind of way. Uh-huh. And it's all right today. But old David, he did much wrong, and much wrong come to his house. Yeah, daughter raped, Absalom took the kingdom, took his wives, and was laying up with his wives on the rooftop of the house so everybody could see, oh, he went through some stuff. The people came in and stole his wives and all his belongings. Oh, but David got him some men and went back and got his wives and his stuff. It won't work. Yeah. Oh, Nabal come in there to do him wrong. He stayed over there helping Nabal men all night, watching over his stuff to keep them rebels from robbing and everything. And he asked for a little something, and Nabal told him no. Ooh, his wife Abigail heard about it. She said, oh, let me go talk to David. Nabal must not know. Yeah, he's a bloody man. He ready to shed blood right now. You make him angry. So she went and talked to him and everything. God gave her what to say. And when she got back there to tell Nabal what had went on, he died. Yeah, he just got stiff and just gave up the ghost. Because he found out David was on his way over here to kill everything in him. He said he was going to kill every man. Well, in other words, everything that pisses against the wall is what he said. Donkeys, cow, everything you got, we just going to kill it. So when Nabal found that out, he fell out. Fell dead. And guess what? David married his wife, Abigail. Yeah, he favored her. He liked her. He liked the way she came to him. Yeah. King Ahasuerus, he fell in love with Esther because the way Esther came to him. Yeah, he liked her style. And see, that's another thing. A lot of women will accuse men, their husband, of favoring this woman over here. Oh, you like her, you want her. No, I'm not interested in her like that. I married you. You're the one I want in my house. I like this one over here. I like her style, but I don't want her. I'm not taking her home to mama. Yeah, I would never. But you, I took you home to mama. And I don't want you going nowhere. I married you. I gave you my last name because you're the one I plan on spending the rest of my life with. So simply because I'm over here chatting with somebody, that don't mean nothing. Same thing with women. Just because your wife chatting with somebody, that don't mean nothing. That don't mean they want them. They want to take them home to mom and dad. And, oh, no, no, no. They hold a good conversation, and that's as far as it goes, and that's not going to happen very often. You're not going to see me talking to them very often, and I got a husband. And most times, he's going to be right there to hear the conversation. He better be. That's all I can say. And the reason I say he better be, because he's a man, he going to come. If he's not over there, he see it, he coming over there. Hey, how you doing? Let me hear what's going on over here. Make sure my wife's not getting into no trouble. Yeah. Because that may not be her intention, but we know how slick the devil is. He come to kill, steal, and destroy. And he live at married people's door. Oh, yeah, he live there because he always want to tear that up. He never want nobody to be happy. Not in a relationship. Husband and wife. What? Oh, no, not over here. As they said, not on my watch. Yeah, he want to tear it up. Yeah, sometimes no matter how sweet the wife is, the husband get worse. Oh, my goodness. No matter how sweet the husband is, the wife get worse. Over the simplest little thing. And that simple little thing grows so big it just taps everything. Until you end up telling yourself, I got to go. I can't take no more of this. I'm too old for this foolishness, and I don't have to take it. And after I leave this, I'm not looking for another marriage. Nowhere. From nobody. I'm going to be good by myself. And God don't have a problem with that. Mm-mm. Yeah. He blessed me. I am blessed today. Because all my time is my time. And if I decide to go from here to Timbuktu, the only permission I need is to make sure God is allowing me to go. I don't have to get no permission from man of any kind. I don't have to plan with nobody, just myself. Go do what I'm going to do and come back. I can, if I choose the day from 10 o'clock until 10 o'clock tonight to be in the Word, that's all I have to do. I don't have nobody coming to interrupt it. Well, how much longer are you going to be in the study? I don't have to have that. I thought we was going, no, I don't have to have that. I'm blessed. Marriage is a good thing because it's ministry between two people, but a lot of times they don't understand. I know the preacher said, well, God put together, let no man take asunder, but they don't understand that. They marry and think, well, you mine, I'm yours, and we in this house together, we going to pay bills and keep the house going. But it's really ministry. And sometimes one of the partners may have some problems, or they may not know God in that way. Yeah. And sometimes we got to live that thing, but, oh, boy, you talking about, I could only imagine how hard that is to live that in front of somebody that's, you know, They showing you, I don't love you, but yet I love you. Kind of craziness, yeah. But we have to live it before them so that they can see God is, and God really can change. He really can fix your heart and regulate your mind forever. He's able to do this. And so we're thankful unto him. Listen, the studio is open. If anyone have anything they would like to say, please feel free today to press that number one and come in. I see you, Brother D. I see you. All right, Brother D. All right, Sister Ellis. God bless you this morning, woman. I see you. God bless you this morning. Thank God you were able to get in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We are grateful this morning. I love seeing that 706 number. Yeah, because they let me know D over there doing all right. He doing all right. Yeah, we just keep prayer going for him. And today that was Pastor Bertrand Bailey, Jr. When good people sin. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He came in there getting hyped up. And on that other one, you know who coming, don't you? I got a little bit of the ending part, him closing. That's why he was so wide open and so hyped on that one. You know who coming. And he began to name, you know, the names that Jesus is. And just a blessing. And so I'm thankful unto the Lord this morning. All right, Brother Frank. God bless you this morning. How are you, sir?
God bless you. I'm doing wonderful. Just want to say good morning. And God bless you, and thank you, thank you, thank you. And be blessed, all of you. Morning, Brother Anthony, Brother Lewis, Sister Simone, and Sister Sion, and her husband,
yeah,
and the family, and everyone that's on the line. God bless all,
amen,
of you, and be blessed,
amen,
as we go forward.
Yes.
Now, how's the sister down in Alabama?
Well, I hadn't heard nothing, Brother Frank.
Okay.
I was looking at Sister Jacqueline information the other day, but I haven't heard anything back from her, Sister Bernella. And you know, Sister Ellis, Sister Andrea mentioned her the other day. So I'm going to reach out to Sister Jacqueline today. I'm making myself a note right now to reach out to Minister Jacqueline and see if she can go ahead.
I have a couple of people to put on your prayer list for the intercessors.
Okay.
One is Evangelist Emily Marbury. And for her healing and miraculous healing. and my niece,
okay.
Danielle Frazier, she's going into surgery, and that she have a speedy, fast recovery, and bless everyone that's going in the room with her. And those are
okay, what was Danielle's last name, Brother Frank?
Frazier,
F-A-Frazier.
F-R-A-Z-I-E-R.
All right, okay, I got it. And recovery.
Yes. And Daniel's Marbury took the shot, and it kind of took her in a bad way. So keep her up in prayer. Let her overcome the shot. Okay. So, but
yeah,
other than that,
everything
I'm
good.
Missing.
Right. Did you get the email with yesterday's show?
Yes. Okay. Now I learned how to communicate with you another way other than the telephone as well. But the most important thing is I'm trying to do a lot of things, but I have to wait and do one at a time. Now, the Lord has let me know that I need to just do one thing at a time and get it out the way and go forward, because I'm still here. And as long as he has me here, everything is all right, and I move on to what I have to do. And that's
Amen.
Where I am now.
So yes, sir, one thing at a time.
Yes, and that's what I'm doing. But I do want to get a chance to talk with you about a few things we talked about and find out where you are and everything in it, because I'm asking God to bless me in a supernatural, miraculous way, so I could be a blessing to the world. Amen?
Amen. I got you, Buffer.
Okay. So.
All right.
I'm getting ready to tell you. You put me on mute because I don't know how to operate this phone that I have here in my hand. Okay. I mean, I can't.
Okay.
You know what I mean.
Yes.
Okay.
I got you. Got you.
Okay. All right.
Love God
you. God
bless
you. Okay. Be
love
blessed.
You, Frank. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Okay.
Hallelujah. We thank God. So we got three things to pray for. Emily and Evangelist Emily and Danielle and Brother Frank today. So listen, I got a message just now that said another thing. God won't give you somebody else's husband. I almost screamed when I was talking to Brother Frank. And that is so true. That is so true.
Right.
That's a myth. That's praying a myth. God can't answer that. It's nothing he can do with that because of this. If this woman have a husband or this man have a wife already, even if it's not the husband or wife God gave to them, they are married, and you have to respect that. And so you can't take somebody else's husband or somebody else's wife and then going to say, God gave them to me. You're going to be in the biggest mess you ever saw. Because he said what he put together, let no man take asunder. That's any relationship. That's any ministry. Whatever he put together, don't bother it. Don't try to break it up. Don't try to get in there. Leave it alone. Back away. Go about your business. Pray and ask God for what's yours. Because I believe what's yours, really, in a way, nobody really, really want it the way that you want it. They may be after it, but they don't want it the way that you. Your heart is in it. Their mind is for it. So, yeah, I will agree with you 100%. God will not give you somebody else's husband. Mm-mm. He'll give you your own. Yeah. I remember this lady accused me. I was so hurt over that. And I got to be honest, I was hurt and angry. And that anger really started coming out of me, and I had to pray about that thing. Yeah. And Bishop Scott and Evangelist Scott, she went to them and asked them to be on the phone when we talked. And we was all on the phone. And I explained myself. And Bishop Scott, you know, he said, well, we never knew Evangelist to be that way now. And we've been following her a long time. And so she said, she after my husband and had my husband come into her show. I didn't have him coming to the show. He came on his own. And I told her, I said, look here, let me tell you something, sister. I said, now, that's what you like. That's not what I like. I said, I don't like weak men. And I don't like men who can't stand up for themselves. That's what I don't like. And I said some other things, you know. I said, but again, that's what you like. And I guess because you like it, you think I like it. No, ma'am. And she said, you hear how she talking about my husband? Teresa Scott was rolling. I know her. I know she was laughing. But she can't tell me she wasn't. So Bishop came back in and he intervened again. And then he prayed. And we ended the conversation. Yeah, but I said, oh, no. It's no way. That's what you like. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a whole different kind of gal. Yeah, see, that name is a tongue twister. Yeah. No, you won't contradict his word either. No, ma'am. No, sir. Yeah. Every man will be a liar. God is the one going to tell the truth. I promise you that. He's truthful. He's truthful. And so we're grateful unto him this morning. And, you know, some of us, we're learning more and more, and that's a beautiful thing. Yeah, that is a beautiful thing. And I'm grateful unto Almighty God that he's able to see us through. And, you know, we don't have to do what we don't want to do. And we keep ourselves away from the world. We're careful in what we do. We don't just jump up doing everything the world does because it would get us in trouble. It's not our way. I have to cut TV out. I had to cut it out. I can't watch it. I watch movies, the movies I choose to watch because of some foolishness. I watched this movie. I don't know if y'all ever saw it. It's called Labor Day. And I've forgotten the actor's name. Yes, sir, you do, Brother Lewis. I thank God, too, that you got a godly wife. Yes, sir. I was looking at it, and this man had committed a crime. They said a murder. But you can tell once you get into it and get to see. Sion, you would love this one. And you get to see how he really is.
Ready to send it?
You would see that what they said about him is nowhere near the truth. Yeah, you will see that. So he went to the son and asked the son to help him. He was bleeding. He jumped out the hospital window because the prison had taken him to the hospital to get an appendix. Okay, I'll send you the name, but it's just called Labor Day. Labor Day is the name of it. And so the boy took him to his mom. He said, you with that woman over there? The boy said, yeah, that's my mom. So they went over there, and he said, this is my mom, Adele. And he told him, he said, well, your son said that he would give me a ride. She said, well, I know he said that, but I'm not giving you a ride, you know. And then he grabbed a boy by the neck and made her think he'll hurt the boy. And she was a kind of nervous kind of lady, so she ended up letting him get in her car, and she said, where are we going? He said, to your house. This man took her home, tied her up, and tied the boy up. Well, no, he tied her up. Sort of looked like if anybody came, he had kidnapped them. Which, in a way, he did, but in a way, he didn't. He cooked, sat down and fed her, made sure the boy had food. He taught them how to make a peach pie, taught the boy how to play baseball. Yeah, oh, he taught the boy how to change the tire. And so later on in life, when the boy told on him, and they came to the house and arrested him. But by then, him and the mom had fell in love. And the boy used all the tools that this man taught him in life. That pie that they made was a peach pie with a crumbly crust. The boy became a baker, opened up a bakery, and sold pies off what this man taught him. He did 10 years to finish out the crime that they first charged him with, and he did another 15 years for the kidnap that they accused him of. She went to the prosecutor and tried to talk. They said, no, And we don't think you know what you're doing because, you know, you could get tired for harboring a future and your son can be taken away from you. And so he wouldn't write her or anything. But one day he saw a magazine with the boy in it making his pie. And he wrote the boy and asked for permission to write his mom. So at the ending of his sentence, he got back with the mom. And the boy said, I thought my mom would have to go out in the world by herself. But now she don't. So I know that, you know, we see many movies, the world see them in a worldly way. But some of this stuff God has done for people. Yeah. He sent that, he allowed that man to go over there with her because she was really messed up from that marriage. Oh, it's a big to-do. I can't tell it all. I'm just giving you the main points. Back to the Browns. Remember the Browns? Meet the Browns. Remember how God moved for her and her children? Yeah. I have to pick, hand-pick, and choose TV, movies, basically. Because there's other stuff on there. It's not for the believer. I promise you, that nonsense is not for us. And just like Pastor Bailey said, you're bringing all this stuff in your house. You're bringing them spirits in there, and you wonder why Big John acting like a fool. You wonder why your children acting like a fool. You done brought them spirits in your living room, in your bedroom. And like he said, TV in every room, even the kitchen. The devil is the prince of the air. I'm just telling you the truth. And we got to be careful what we watch on TV. All this stuff, snake them and whatever it is they got going on now, the sisters and the president and the woman, they had that thing called Scandal. I didn't watch all of that. Who want to see a scandal? I believe that came out after really President Clinton and all kind of other stuff. I mean, just evil. And I just don't want evil in my camp. Yeah, my friend Clarice said, oh, it's sin in the camp at her house. And we going to get it out of here. Oh, I would be so tickled. Yeah, so we don't want to bring things into our house that shouldn't be. We prayerful, we full of the word, you know, we know the word. But if we know the word, then we are going to know when evil is present. And when we can block evil from coming to us and our family and our children, yeah, turn it off. Yeah. I prefer to watch me some YouTube preaching if I can't find a movie that's going to show me something good. Yeah. All of that, what they are, horror movies, I can't stand it. Although I know some people have gone through stuff. But no, I don't participate with horror at all. Why would I want to be afraid? Halloween. Why would I want to be scared when I don't have to be? And God has not given me the spirit of fear. He gave me power, love, and a sound mind. I don't Halloween. I didn't let my kids trick or treat. I got all the treats you need right here. Some people have what it is, some other kind of night and treat. At the church, we shutting it all down. We're not going to even think, but you'll hurt the children. No, we're going to train these kids up in the way they should go. And when they get old, they won't depart from it. I'm going to teach them the truth. This is a day of celebration for the devil. And we're not going to be partaker of it in any kind of way. No, you're not no monster, so I'm not going to dress you up like one. You're not no pumpkin. I'm not going to dress you up like a pumpkin. You're not no hunchback of Notre Dame. I'm not going to dress you up like that. And you're really not a princess either, so I'm not going to dress you up like that. Yeah. And I just be honest and truthful. I was honest and truthful with my kids. And when they got grown, they could tell me, thank you. Boy, you sure wouldn't allow us to go. I said, no, sir. He said, and I sure thank you. Ooh, them spirits was out there. Yeah. Because look at this. I'm going to let my children go to stranger's house or neighbor's house. And they done, many times you done found razor blades in the stuff and poison in the stuff. Hey, Walmart sell all the candy that you can afford at an affordable price. And if you need to get your kids some candy and you want to give it to them in October, buy it early enough. Buy it in September. Buy it in August. Yeah. And give your kids some candy. But they shouldn't have all that candy like that anyway. Get in there and bake something with them. Show them how to make a fried apple pie or something. I don't know. Put them in music. Make sure they get some music lessons. And I mean stay on them about them music. That will keep your children out of trouble. And when they go to music lessons, you go into music lessons with them. You take them. You don't send them. Because today we don't trust nothing and nobody. Man babysitting kids. Come out, he's some nanny or another, and he over there raping the people's children. Yeah. I thank God for being saved because I can pray for him. I remember the time I would have said if it was my kids, I would have had to go visit him, and they would have probably locked me up or something, but whatever. Thank God for saving power. Thank God that let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Yes, ma'am. Sister Spitter, you know. Yes, yes, because we want to be careful how we think and what we say some days, all days, every day. But yeah, just so much, and we want to be careful. I'm telling you, you pick the right stuff to watch in your house. You'll see a change in your own house. In your home, you will see a change. No, we're not running this camp like John Brown and them run their camp over there. No, this is a whole nother camp. As for me and the ones that attend this camp, we're going to praise God. We're going to live right before God. We're going to pray. He taught us yesterday how to have prayer with our family every night. And them who don't want to participate, you're participating anyway. Because everybody in this camp participate in the nightly prayer. And we chose the prayer time after dinner because everybody should be able and have time to come to prayer. If we can do some in the morning, we'll do some morning prayer. We get up early enough to give God some time before you leave out so we can cover you, make sure you're covered. And then at the school, things happen. You know how to pray. You know how to talk to the Lord. But see, we don't teach our children that. And then sometimes we taught them, but when these things arrive, they walk in their flesh. Oh, I ain't got time for prayer right now. I got to fix this. Okay. Make it worse. Not better, but worse. So we just train them up in the way they should go. Pray with them. Pray with our husbands, wives, you know. Pray for mama and the family, and we keep it moving. Yeah. It's all right today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. But that was a wonderful message this morning when good people see it. Yeah. So is there anyone else? Please feel free. We got some time. So please feel free to press that number one and come in. If you have something you want to say. Brother Frank, I'm going to take you to this one right here this morning. I'm going to dedicate this one to you.
Earth to God, come in, God. I know you're there, hearing our prayers wherever you are. We need you now. Descend your love down. Take away the pain in your holy name. We ask this now. We need your light. We need your love to heal the world you made. And save us now in our darkest hour with your amazing grace. Earth to God. We're holding on, but not for long. Can you pull us all close to the Holy Ghost and keep us strong? We need your light, we need your love to heal the world you made.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a beautiful song. What a beautiful song. Herb to God, come in now. We need you. We need you. We cannot make it without him today. And I'm happy about it. I'm glad about it. I thank him that I can't. Because if I could do anything without him, I'd be out here acting a donkey. I'd be out here messing up right and left, thinking I'm doing something, thinking I got the power, you know. I got the juice. Herb to God. Hallelujah. Lord, I need you. I need you. And without you, I know I cannot do anything. I need you for every little thing. Yeah, Lord. And that way I can make it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like that song. I like that song. So no one else have anything they would like to say this morning? If so, feel free to press that number one and come in. And we'll go from there. Good morning, Sister Rita. Good morning, Sister Spinner. Good morning, Sister Samoa. Good morning, Sister Sion. Good morning, Sister Rose Brown. Good morning to you, Sister Jerry. Good morning to you, Sister Dorothy Goodman. And let's go down the roll call. Let's do roll call this morning. Hallelujah. Thank God. Because I don't think I did it yesterday. And good morning to you, Sister Mary Ann. And Sister Melanie Rose, Sister Angela, Sister Laura, Sister Alexis, Minister Jacqueline, Sister Brunella, Sister Lachelle, Sister Andrea Philadelphia, Sister Keisha, Sister Diane, Sister Corey Bush, Sister Kim Hopps, Sister Michelle, Sister Patricia Fluka, Sister Lisa, and Sister Yvonne. God bless you this morning. Good morning, good morning. And good morning to you, Brother Louis, and Brother Jermaine, and Brother Anthony, and Brother Frank again, Brother D, Brother Dan, Brother Mike Hopps, Brother Mike in Orlando, Pastor Herring, Pastor Brown, Brother George West Perry, Brother Lee Hamilton, and Brother Coleman. And we thank God this morning. Good morning, sirs. Good morning. God bless y'all. God bless you. And we thank God for Jesus this morning. Thank God for the brothers. And that's a wonderful thing to have the brothers, you know, with us. And many come through the archives of the podcast. They take a listen. But I thank God for them. Thank God for men. Hallelujah. We give him glory today. And we're just grateful unto him. So no one else have anything they would like to say. I'm going to pray us out. We're getting out early today. I feel a little bit sleepy. I'm telling you, a little tired. But I got a few more things to get done that I can take me a nap and I'll be good. Yes, yes. And so I'm grateful unto the Lord again this morning. So we're going to pray. And intercessors, y'all remember Sister Emily Mulberry. I remember Sister Danielle Frazier. And let's lift Brother Frank up in prayer as well. And lift him up, even his finances, because there's some things he's trying to do to help some people. So we want to lift him up in prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for all that you are to us, all your many things. You're more than we could imagine that you are to us. All you sleep, not slumber. Your eyes are in every place. You're beholding the evil and the good. And Father, today, you know your plans towards us, nothing evil, but good, and you bringing us to an expected end. And we're thankful unto you. We come this morning casting our cares upon you, for Father, you care for us. And as we depart today, Father, we ask that you would bless us, Lord. Open up doors, work miracles in our lives. We know that you're able. And Lord, help us to be cheerful givers, because the more we give, the more you give to us. We ask this morning, Lord, that you would open up financial doors, or in the name of Jesus, we know you're able. We ask that you would multiply the money that we get, God. Let it be more than enough, much more than enough. We know you're able to do it. The earth is yours. You have all power. There's nothing too hard for you to do. With you, all things are possible. Do it for your people today. In the name of Jesus, Father, we bring Brother Frank before you this morning, and he's asking for help, Lord, because there are some things he desired to do. We know that you are able. We know that you know where every dime that he needs. And God, we know that he don't have to go and get it, but you're able to send it to him. Send his money, angels, Father, to bring his money in the name of Jesus. The God, the things he want to do for your people, he's able to do them. Touch and heal his body today, oh God. Whatever he's standing in need of, move by your spirit this day in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And Father, we ask in this morning that, God, you would touch and heal Evangelist Emily, God. You know what a body needs. You made that body. You know all about it. You know every bone in it, every organ, God. Move by your spirit for her today in the healing power in the name of Jesus. Father, you took a beating for the healing of the nation. And it's you that heal all manner of sickness and disease. Heal this lady today in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would go with Danielle Frazier as she go into whatever it is she got to have done. And Lord, bring her out with a speedy recovery. Oh, touch and heal her body, God. God, the surgeon's hand, whoever got to do anything to this woman. God, we ask that you would lead and guide her. Let nothing go wrong. We bind up every evil and hindering and negative spirit, even thinking about coming her way. In the name of Jesus. And we cast it back to the pits of hell in Jesus' name. And Father, we release her healing to her and all that she need and more in the name of Jesus. We thank you today, Father. We give you glory. We give you the honor. And Father, we give you the praise. And as we depart this morning, we ask, Lord, that you would bless our going out, bless our coming in, and meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. And Father, we ask that this word that we heard today will fall on good ground all this week and even on tomorrow. The word will fall on good ground, and that, Lord, it will spring up from there in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, we ask it all again in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for hearing. We thank you for answering. Oh, we bless you today, Lord Jesus. And Father, we just give you glory. Hallelujah. Honor and praise. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, April the 8th, 2021, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye and have a blessed day.